Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
4:30, John Edwards with sports. Good to talk to you. How are you?
So far, so good. How are you?
Oh, man. Did you see the Shohei Ohtani game last night?
Bits of it. I mean, he knows how to put on a show. That's one way to get to 50-50. Three homers, two steals. Yeah, that'll do it.
And six hits, five extra base hits. Now reached the 51 home run, 51 stolen base plateau. It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's been 50-50 before. So, I mean, he's going to be, if he's not unanimous MVP, I don't know. You know, whoever's not voting for him needs to have their head examined. It's just...
Rumor is he might be pitching in the series.
Yeah, Dodgers are sort of thin at pitcher right now. So depending on how his recovery from Tommy John or whatever it was that he had over the winter, they might try and put him in the playoffs. Why not? I mean, he's good as he is a hitter. He's that good as a pitcher. So,
yeah. Who would you take, Judge or Ohtani?
I take Ohtani. It's not even close.
Football. What do you like for week three?
Got off to an interesting start last night with just giving the Patriots their biggest defeat for the Patriots since January 6th. Aaron Rodgers finally getting a highlight for New York. Chargers in Pittsburgh is interesting in the 1 o'clock game. That probably looks like the game of the window there. Detroit, Arizona. I think we want to see if Detroit can sort of rebound from the loss they've had this year and kind of get into the form that'll have them possibly challenge for a Super Bowl. The night game is Kansas City, Atlanta, which is interesting to see if Atlanta can be a challenger in the NFC South. And Monday, two games, Jacksonville at Buffalo. Jacksonville seems to be back to being Jacksonville again. Washington, Cincinnati, which is a war crime.
I see that offense passing is down since the season has started in an important fashion as well. Do you see any reasons for this?
I think there's a couple. I think early in the year, preseason has been downgraded to a point where starters basically don't play a lot of it, don't play very much in it. So the preseason games are 3 weeks of guys from, you know, 54 to 90 trying on a team's depth chart, trying to make the roster. And the guys who are actually playing in the regular season barely see any time in the preseason. And so there's not time for the offense to come together in game conditions. And you can practice all you want, but it's something different when you're actually doing it in a game. So defenses have adjusted to what teams are doing. So they're dropping two safeties back now farther behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, that's what Mel Kiper's silly rant was about this week. You know, teams are still doing more, you know, one deep and three deep overall, but they're trying to stop the deep ball. So teams are going to lean into that because that's going to open up more run game and short passes.
All right, let me throw some names at you, and I want John Edwards' hot takes real quick.
Okay.
The Steelers are looking good.
They are. I think Justin Fields can do a job there.
Cincinnati Bengals, 0-2.
They got a chance to rebound on Monday against Washington. They've got some injuries that they're going to have to overcome.
Are the Chargers this good?
Could be. Jim Harbaugh knows what he's doing, so they could be, but we'll see how it looks for them this week against Pittsburgh. I mean, that's going to be a test.
Cowboys are 1-1. Should Dallas panic?
Dallas will do their usual Dallas thing, going about 11-6 or so, getting into a playoff game, convince all their fans that this is the year, and then lose in the divisional round.
New Orleans have scored 91 points and have given up 29. Are they that good?
They might be. They've got their offense put together. If beat a Philly team that seems to have, you know, that's coming off a really tough loss to Atlanta, the NFC South could be wide open. So,
okay, you and I are good friends. Here's your chance to wax poetic on the Seahawks.
Geno Smith won that game on Sunday because the rest of the offense wasn't working at all. I don't know that he's the guy to win the rest, but I think they've got a chance to go 3-0 because they're playing Miami this week, and Miami doesn't know, with two out for the time being, Miami's got big quarterback problems, so there's definitely a chance for Seattle to go to 3-0.
All right, college football wants to start charging talent fees quickly. What's that all about?
Well, the University of Tennessee announced that in raising ticket prices next year, part of it, there's going to be a 10% talent fee that they're going to add, and that's going to go to Name, Image, and Likeness Collective to help fund name, image, and likeness deals to attract players to Tennessee. The irony is, I mean, this is a coming from an AD who makes $2.75 million a year. So, I mean, there's certainly other places athletic departments could stop spending if they want to redirect money to NIL deals and that type of thing. We'll see if anyone else copies the idea. I think the reaction to it, from what I saw on social media, was pretty unanimously negative. So maybe the only team to try to do this. We'll see if, you know, what anybody else does. It's another sign of how, especially at that high level, the Power Four level, that the money is getting ridiculous.
We talk to John Edwards again at 5:30.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
Talk to him, but he looks pretty down.
He looks pretty down. Yeah, well, maybe we should cheer him up then.
What do you suppose we should do?
Well, does he like butter tarts?
I was lying on the grass of Sunday morning of last week, indulging in my self-defeat. My mind was thugged on least, but it's all twisted around and beat. Now the fuzz is there for not being there on a confusing morning week. Impair my tribal lunar speak. And of course you can't become if you only say what you would have done. So I missed a million miles of fun. I know it's up for me.
Chip, come here.
Wow, look at her.
I know.
God, I've never seen Sharon look so bad before.
I did once before, but this is pretty bad.
Yeah, what do you think she got up to last night? Sharon! I love you!
I was flying on the bench, sliding the park across the street. L-A-T-E-R that week. My sticky buns really make his jaws out of big, that's lurking treats. Incredible lake of heat. Now the funny clown, the pain, the meteor, and staring under heat.
Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on The Friday Drive.
In a world where there's drama every single day of the week, One man is here to make things right and put things into perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mike McDevitt with the news review again on the Friday Drive. Hello there.
Well, you're asking a lot there, but how are you? I'm ready to give it my shot again.
Well, buddy, after 4.5 years, I think you've got this down pat.
Well, yeah, and I fixed almost everything.
Exactly. Vote for McDevitt next election.
All right. I'm the only one that can do it.
There you go. Michael, many things again this week. Let's start with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau suffering another devastating by-election blow with the loss of a second Liberal stronghold, this one to the Bloc Québécois in LaSalle, Émard Verdun. Voters went to the polls Monday in the Montreal riding, as well as in Winnipeg, Elmwood, Transcona, where the NDP retained its long-held seat after a tough race against the Conservatives. And Trudeau already faced calls from party faithful to resign as leader after losing in Toronto St. Paul's. So here goes the question again. You've heard this one before. If Trudeau's Liberals can't hold this safe seat, it's got to spell even bigger trouble for the party's prospects in Quebec, along with Canada, in a critical election year. Should Trudeau pull a Biden?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been saying that for a while, as you know. The Liberals' biggest problem is their leader, unfortunately. He blooms off the flower, as I say. I don't know what other message they can take from that. The loss in the LaSalle was not a great one. It wasn't a landslide, but it was a loss in a very safe Liberal seat. If he didn't take the message from that, I don't know. I think it's time for him to take a long walk in the snow.
Let me throw a baseball metaphor at you. Pitcher's in the ninth inning. He's having trouble. Your team looks like it's going to lose. So you take that pitcher out, but you always need another good pitcher to put in instead. Who would that Liberal politician be to replace Justin?
The way I understand it, the obvious replacement would be Chrystia Freeland. She's well-respected. She's done a good job. But apparently her health isn't up to it. I don't know what that's about, but apparently her health isn't up to it. And so what I'm thinking is, that's why Mark Carney's suddenly appearing on the stage. If there's going to be a convention and he runs, that's the guy that would win. And maybe that might restore the Liberals' chances. Otherwise, we're going to have Pee-Pee there, and I can only imagine how much damage he can do, because he hasn't got even 10% of Mulroney's intellect or Harper's, and you know what the damage they did. It's not looking good. I just don't see how Justin can avoid the obvious unless he really, really, really wants to be publicly humiliated, because the way it looks now, he's going to get clobbered.
We're about 1 year away from the federal election. At this stage, you have to wonder, will the Liberals have enough time to turn things around?
That depends on Singh, and I hope he's not crazy, but you never know. The Bloc have already said they're not going to support Poilievre because that would be crazy. What's behind Singh's decision to cancel his agreement? That's a mystery to me. I'm not sure if it's some kind of heavy strategic thinking going on there. I can't see him voting no confidence when the Conservatives are just poised to win a major majority. They're not going to benefit from that.
Hold on to your hats. Lots of things to come still.
Yep.
Down south, Michael, those close to Donald Trump fear the former president may have legit PTSD from the assassination attempt at a Pennsylvania rally last month. He'd been watching that 7-second clip, how close he was to getting shot right in the head, and he's been watching it over and over and over again, this according to a Republican close to the campaign. With Donald, you just never know. Is it window dressing? Is it real? Is it not?
Who can say? If that's the excuse they want to use, I'll buy it.
Well, he's been increasingly off the rails over the past few weeks. Nothing he ever says does make sense to me. It's been even worse, and it started with that Kamala accusation of her being of Indian descent instead of black. It was just all over the road.
Yeah, being so obviously outwitted in the debate has thrown him too. But the race is still close. He's losing it now.
It's neck and neck. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Meantime, the International Brotherhood of Teamsters declined to endorse a presidential candidate on Wednesday after releasing internal polling that showed a majority of its members supported former President Donald Trump over Vice President Kamala Harris. First time in nearly 3 decades that the union has not endorsed a presidential candidate. Are you surprised at all with that? And what effect could that have on the final vote?
I was surprised. They supported Biden last time, and I don't think they ever supported Trump. Maybe they're covering their own rear ends and just afraid to go against him.
Yeah, you think if internal polling would have shown more of an approval for Kamala Harris, that they would have then supported
the... Well, most of his membership are white males. We know how smart that group is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, what can I say? Honestly, that's where the majority of Trump's strength is, although it's certainly not exclusively the area of Donald's strength, because, boy, you can find some not very smart women as well.
Boggles the mind. Apparently, the internal polling was 60% in favor of Trump, 34% supported Harris, and 6% supported another candidate. I don't know who the other candidate is, but this is what we're seeing.
RFK.
He dropped out a few weeks ago, only to support Donald.
I can't think of the other candidate either, unless they were writing in...
All of the above.
Who, you know?
Yeah, makes no sense to me, but anyway,
no,
here we go.
No, it doesn't. I don't quite understand that either, but even when they support a Democrat, their members don't. So let's not off our membership and leave it at that. It doesn't make any sense to me either, really.
I thought we'd go through a little change of pace here and talk about Tupperware, Michael. They filed for bankruptcy protection on Tuesday. Now, my mom would probably be turning in her grave as we speak. Mounting losses amid poor demand, its once iconic food storage containers, company's popularity exploded in the 50s as women of the post-war generation held Tupperware parties at their homes to sell food storage containers. It's lost its edge to rivals making cheaper and more environmentally friendly containers. Now, I have no information to back up what I'm going to say about this.
Okay.
But I do know that 40% of the food we purchase is wasted and thrown out, so that's probably one of the reasons people don't use Tupperware as much as they used to. And we buy a lot more one-meal-only type containers and create more waste. The thing that comes to mind is we're a throwaway society and we don't like to keep things in the fridge.
Yes, we do. We keep them in the fridge until they go rotten, and then we throw them out. Yeah, I was surprised to hear that. I always figured that Tupperware was pretty much the leader in that field of enterprise. But then again, I've got cupboards full of that crap, but it's not Tupperware. It's other stuff. It's either better or cheaper.
That's probably a good answer.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, I think the market that's selling these glassware things, too, is kind of up there. It's not, I don't know if it's cheaper than Tupperware, but it's better.
The glassware stuff you can put into the microwave, which you can't necessarily do with the Tupperware stuff.
Exactly. Okay. So
I'll buy that. You've reassured me now with today's society.
Well, I wasn't meaning to do that because people still leave their food in the fridge till it goes bad and then they throw it out. I think their intentions are good, if that helps.
If that helps at all. Townshipers Festival, Lake Brougham tomorrow. Musical acts, fun, activities, artisans, kiosks. Michael, it's incredible to think that the Townshipers Festival is now going to be 45 years old this weekend.
Yeah, it really is. Poor shadow of what it used to be.
You probably covered that as a reporter at the Record.
Oh, I did. I did. I went Townshipers Day there years ago when it was Townshipers Day, and it was a fairly big deal. But over the years, they had trouble finding places that wanted to hold it. I'm not sure that Townshipers Fest, as they call it now, is going to last too much longer. Lake Brougham is still holding it, but they're not going to be happy for much longer, I don't think.
Are you suggesting they would run out of funds?
It's just not as big a deal as it once was. It used to be a very, very popular event. I haven't seen much advertisement. I haven't seen a whole lot of excitement about it, to tell you the truth. I hope people are still planning to go, but we'll see. I'm not optimistic.
I suppose you've been pretty happy with the stretch of great weather we've had these past 2 weeks.
A couple of days there that have been perfect for me. It still tends to get a little warm in the afternoons for me. Bikers are happy.
Yeah. I'll get back to you in about 12 weeks from now when it's minus 30 outside, okay?
This is the thing, you know. I can count on maybe 30 days when I'm happy during the year now. The rest of the time, I'm either too hot or too cold. I'm an old man. Really hard to make me happy.
Michael, as a friend, I always thought you were pretty hot. Michael McDevitt, the weekly news review on the Friday Drive, right here on CJMQ and CITIFM. Have a good weekend.
You too, Daniel. Get back on that bike.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
I gotta find my way back to summer paradise. John Paul Zimmerblunt.
My heart is sinking as I'm lifting up above the clouds away from you. And I can't believe I'm leaving. Oh, I don't know what I'm gonna do. But someday I will find my way back to where your name is written in the sand.
Hey, my man.
Cause I remember every sunset. I remember every word you said. And we were never gonna say goodbye.
Yeah.
Singing la-da-da-da-da. Tell me how to get back to back to summer paradise. My soul is broken, streets are frozen. I can't stop these feelings melting through. And I'd give away a thousand days, oh, just to have another one with you.
Baby girl,
where real life can wait.
It can wait.
We're crashing like waves.
Yeah.
We're playing in the sand.
Yeah.
Find my way back to where your name is written in the sand.
Bring it back.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Taylor McClure connects you to the Lake Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. Taylor McClure, my understanding is you're a tad under the weather this week. Yeah, I hope you're going to be better for the upcoming weekend.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I will be. Just trying to get over this pesky cold that's been going around, it seems.
Okay. Hang in there, slugger. You'll make it. Couple of things for this week. Let's start with Accès Nature.
L'Association des Parcs Régionaux du Québec, otherwise known as PARC for short, has launched a new initiative known as Accès Nature, all about providing Quebecers with free daily access to some regional parks here across the province. Accès Nature was recently launched by PARC after the group received $800,000 in financial support from the provincial government to develop the project. So I spoke with Valérie Bélanger, who's the communications manager at Parc, who explained that the initiative is all about making nature more accessible to Quebecers and to encourage engagement in outdoor physical activities that are offered by the regional parks here in Quebec. So as of right now, there are about 30 regional parks in 10 different regions across Quebec, including in the Eastern Townships, that are participating in Accès Nature. From what I was told by her, there are more that are expected to join the initiative as it continues to roll out over the next few weeks. So here in our region, people have the opportunity to discover Parc des Sommets in Broma, Parc Harold Baldwin in Coaticook, otherwise known as Montpinac, Parc de la Gorge in Coaticook, Parc Régional du Moham, and Parc Régional du Marécage des Scottes in Hauts-Saint-François. You know, you can just head on over to the websites of these regional parks to get your daily access ticket, and that gives you access to the trails of the park for the entire day. So it's quite a great initiative.
Taylor also has a story this week about the Broman Ultra supporting relief aid in Ukraine.
Yeah, so ultra marathon runner Anne-Lise Nadeau, who is serving as the ambassador for this year's Broma Ultra event. And for those who don't know, the Broma Ultra event is a trail or mountain bike race with the primary purpose of raising funds for various causes. And it takes place in Bromont every year. As the ambassador for Broma Ultra this year, Anne-Lise actually went to Ukraine for a 12-day trip where she took part in a marathon to raise money in support of humanitarian organization Relief Aid. So we actually had the chance to speak with her now that she's back from her trip. And she explained that she decided to take on Broma Ultra's challenge to run a marathon in Ukraine from August 25th to September 5th to raise $50,000 for relief aid to help them reconstruct the homes that were destroyed by war in Ukraine. She mentioned that taking part in the marathon was just a way for the running community in Quebec to show their solidarity with the Ukrainian population and to show the importance of not only helping, you know, the neighbor next door to you, but everywhere else in the world. So despite the fact that she's back from her trip, people can still continue to donate to the cause. And the Broma Ultra event will be taking place in October, where more money will be raised for relief aid amongst other organizations. So for those who are looking for more information about that, they can head on over to the Broma Ultra website for more information.
The wonderful Taylor McClure is heard weekly on CIDI 99.1 FM. Taylor, I trust you have a great upcoming weekend. Enjoy Townshippers Festival. That's happening tomorrow at Lake Brome.
Yes, exactly, at the Brome Fairgrounds. People are super excited that the event's making its way out to this end of the Eastern Townships. It's been a while, so we're super looking forward to it.
Enjoy the weekend. We speak next week.
Yes, you too, Daniel. Bye-bye.
Friday night weather, mostly cloudy, low 13 tonight. Tomorrow, cloudy, high 23 for Townshippers Festival. Saturday night, clouds, low 13. Sunday, cloudy, high 20. Long range for Monday, clouds and high 20 degrees. Ed Humphrey of the Townshippers Association coming just after 5 o'clock. 5:10 interview of the week, Philippe Sauvé, general manager of the Sherbrooke Phoenix. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnaud. All on the Friday Drive at CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM.